there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, guys. Glad to have you back on the podcast today. I am really excited about today because for this episode, I am introducing my fourth adult child that has been a part of these podcasts. Of course, you've met Caleb and Hannah, who live here with me in Virginia. And Nathaniel recently was on the podcast. He's down in Florida. My son Joshua is with us right now. And Josh is a student pastor in Kansas, of all places. Josh, how in the world did you end up in Kansas?
I ended up in Kansas because of you. You went to school with Mark Doss.
Oh, right. So the connection was I knew Mark. Mark met you in Israel.
In Israel, that's right. And then about a year and a half after our Israel trip, just kind of a call out of the blue from one of the pastors there, and they needed their student pastor position to be filled, and we went from there.
The rest is history. So Josh works out there at in Kansas as a student pastor, and then his wife Rachel is a nurse. And so we are excited that he's here for a few days visiting with us, and we're taking advantage of the time and talking about the Bible. We talked yesterday a little bit about the inheritance of Joseph. So remember, guys, that Joseph in the Bible, as far as the tribal divisions, refers to two tribes.
That's right.
Ephraim and Manasseh. And remember, these are not the sons of Jacob. These are the grandsons of Jacob. But because of their parents, really their dad, because of his wise choices, the children got a great blessing.
And there's a lesson right there as far as as a parent, your decisions affect the future generations.
In a big way.
Right, in a big way. And you see at the end of Genesis, Jacob blessing Joseph's sons.
Right, in a similar way in which Jacob was blessed because he turned the hands.
And then Joseph tried to switch his dad's hands, and Jacob's like, no, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, God had a plan.
Yes.
So here we are in chapter 18, and some of the tribes have received their allocations by lot. We talked about what that meant by lot. And yet there were seven that still needed to receive their inheritance to their divisions. And yet there's a pause in chapter 18. And the pause is to set up what's called the tent of meeting. Sometimes we call that in the Old Testament, the tabernacle. So here they're moving their base of operations. They've been at Gilgal this whole time. They're moving about 20 miles northwest into the hill country to a place called Shiloh, which is in the territory of Ephraim. And they're setting up the tent of meeting. And I find that interesting. Why not just get the entire country allocated and then set up the tabernacle? What's significant about that?
I think what's significant about that is the purpose and the motivation of them filling the land. And Joshua, being the leader of those people, he's looking to make a statement. Guys, before we finish out the land, let's pause and let's get together and make sure that we know the center of our faith. Where we're going to set this tabernacle, where the Ark of the Covenant, where there'll be sacrifices.
And that's really the point. The point is not, this is a good place for a tent. The point is what's in the tent.
Yes.
And what was in the tent was the Ark of the Covenant. And of course, the Ark of the Covenant was everything because that's where the law was housed. I remember the tablets of stone, Aaron's rod that budded, and then the pot manna. Of manna. Right. Yes. So symbols of God's law, of God's provision, of God's power. But even more importantly than that, it was in the Holy of Holy Places. That would be where the high priest would go and make atonement for the people. It's where the Shekinah glory of God would come down and God would dwell with man. In the New Testament, we know that Jesus is our high priest, and we know that he is our mercy seat. All of it is Christ, isn't it? And yet in the Old Testament, it's a great picture of what Jesus is to the New Testament believer. So the centralization of worship, the centralization of Jesus, all of that, it's interesting because Shiloh is in Ephraim. So Ephraim had just received her borders. It's almost to me, Josh, like God is saying, now that there's a home for the ark, because the ark had to be in a middle, centralized place, it's almost like as soon as the tribe that was to house the ark received its tribal distinction, stop everything, let's get worship prioritized. Do you see that?
I see that. And going back to your point about the tabernacle and what the significance of it, because like you said, it's not the place, it's about what it represents. And I think a theme throughout Israel, throughout the Old Testament, is that that's what God's purpose is for us today. And that was God's purpose for the Israelites back then. Yet we as believers, yet they as believers of God in the Old Testament, they tended to glorify the objects. They glorified the tabernacle. They glorified the temple rather than the creator.
The true meaning of it.
The true meaning.
I think about the situation where Hezekiah, this is kind of a random passage, but where Hezekiah years later, they still had the brazen serpent that Moses had raised up in the wilderness. They had saved it all those years, but it had become a relic.
Yes.
They called it Nehushtan. And Hezekiah was wise enough to say, get rid of it. You know, we don't worship idols. We don't worship symbols. And we even do that in modern churches. Sometimes we'll just relegate that to a certain denomination. Well, that might be maybe more of an Orthodox thing or a Catholic thing. But I've seen that really even among what we would call Bible-believing churches.
Yeah, among the evangelical Christianity. We tend to take anything that's good, that's related to God, and we take that object or we take a person. And we could take a person and we just lift them up a little too highly. And, you know, that's a great lesson.
No, that is a great lesson. So what's interesting is that they prioritize all of that in verse 1 of chapter 18. And then immediately the Bible says there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And I would be thinking, if I were one of those seven tribes, boy, I want to get busy now. I want to get home. I want to permanently locate. And yet that's not what happened, because the Bible says in verse 3, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? So interestingly, the implication is that they were procrastinating. It's almost as if they were war weary, tired of fighting, and Joshua almost had to kind of get them. You know, you take a pause, and it's like, have you ever been out working in the yard and you're dead tired and you say, I just need to go in and relax, and you turn on the ball game for a few minutes, you grab a lemonade. It's hard to go back out. And I think what happened here was the people stopped. They set up worship. There's a great spirit of camaraderie. It's a good spirit. And now there's a little bit of a slackness to get back to work.
And I would add another element to that. I think that they were comfortable in their nomadic lifestyle.
Good point. It's been 5 years now.
Right.
Well, not only 5 years here, but 40 years.
But yeah, growing up, that's all they know. So sometimes we're so comfortable where we're at, you know, working with student ministry. It's really hard to transition from kids ministry to student ministry. It's also hard to transition from student ministry out of student ministry. And I think as believers, we do that not only with ministries, but we do that with stages of our life. God's calling us. He has victories laid before us, but we're so comfortable what we have already.
Yeah, the known, whatever the known is in your life, listeners, if you're like me, the known is what that with which you're comfortable, and it's the unknown sometimes that causes discomfort. So, you know, that's a good point. So what Joshua does in chapter 18 is he decides to encourage those tribes to figure out their tribal allocation. So the lot, he wanted the land to be surveyed, and he chose 21 surveyors, really is what it was, 3 from each of these 7 tribes. So 3 times 7, 21. And they go to survey the land. And what's really, really interesting to me about that, and even Josephus in writing the history of Israel said, he said that they were proficient in geometry, a skill they probably had learned in Egypt. The Egyptians were great geometricians. I don't know if that's a word, but it sounded cool.
I don't know either.
They knew geometry. Cool. And they, and I wonder if some of those Israelites in Egypt thought, how am I ever going to use this in my real life? You know, I'm just using this as slave labor in Egypt. And yet God took that knowledge and these surveyors were able now to figure out borders and allocations and all of that. So what you find in chapter 18 is that they go, they describe the land. And what that means is not just a verbal description, but they're able to say, you know, here's where it begins and ends. Here's where the borders are. Because these tribes still need their allocations, Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali and Asher and all of these tribes, they still need to have their allocations. And he sends them out to do that. So I find that interesting that God used something that maybe didn't have immediate context years before, something they had learned, that now, years later, they say, oh, that's why I learned that years ago. And how often have I seen that in my own life? That in the moment, I'm like, I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. Lord, what are you teaching me? Why do I have this? And yet God is training me, teaching me for something that I'll need to do years down the road. Does that make any sense?
No, because I see it all throughout the Bible, right? You see a Moses that's a shepherd for 40 years. And he may have thought, you know, this is how I'm going to spend my life. Is in the wilderness watching sheep, but yet you see God preparing him through that.
Yeah, shepherd. Now taking those shepherding skills and shepherding God's people, leading a nomadic people, just like he led
through the wilderness
nomadic sheep. Even David. I mean, think about the lessons he learned as a shepherd, just about God, about the enemy, the lion, and the bear. What he learned about trusting God and fighting giants. What he learned about God himself, the Lord is my shepherd, yea, though I walk through the valley. He learned those lessons, and so God was teaching and then time releasing that teaching for later. But at the end of chapter 18, Josh, I wanted because we're running out of time, I wanted to talk about the bulk of the chapter really just talks about the borders of the allocation for Benjamin. And Benjamin ended up being the smallest tribe. So Benjamin was the younger son of Jacob and Rachel. They had Joseph. Remember Benjamin? He was the one that Jacob took on as his favorite after Joseph had apparently died. And Benjamin receives the smallest allocation. And remember, this is by lot. So this is something that God has decided. And the tribe of Benjamin is 25 miles east-west, 15 miles north-south. It's kind of a hilly area, not good for large-scale agriculture. And you're thinking, boy, that's not fair. And then when you read the cities that Benjamin was given, some of the most famous cities in all of Israel were given to Benjamin. And of course, the most famous is Jerusalem. So Benjamin, Jerusalem, and all of what Jerusalem represents and all of what Jerusalem would be is a Benjaminite city. So, you know, listeners, you might feel as if, wow, I kind of got cheated. I don't have the talent or the gifts or the resources of this one or that one. But you don't know what God's going to do with what he has given you. What has he given you? And how will what he has given you unfold for his glory in the years to come? Because when Benjamin received this tribal allocation, Jerusalem wasn't even theirs. Now, it was theirs potentially, but it was a Jebusite city. And it wasn't captured until years later.
Till David.
And yet, this was something that God was going to give to them, something that would unfold years down the road. And I would say to you listeners, you know, God gives each one of us our allocations, if you will. He gives us our borders, our potential. And it's our job to trust him, to not compare ourselves among ourselves, to make sure that we're doing all that we can within the borders we've been given to bring him honor and glory, realizing that God's plans supersede ours in a very, very big way. So Josh, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate you being on the episode, and we look forward to hearing from you in the days to come as well as we wade through what some would say is a rather boring section of the book of Joshua. But what we're finding out is there's no part of the Bible that's boring. It's all applicable, and I'm so glad that each one of you has joined in. Hey, we'll talk to you next episode. Thanks again for listening.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.